Section 3 is the one in this November 9th executive order that agency people tell me all the time. First thing that gets cut out of my budget when times get tight is travel. As I am sitting down, and I have until December 23rd, I think was the way I figured it out. This executive order from November 9th said 45 days that the agencies had to get their plans in. So I'm sitting here writing my plan, and I'm trying to figure out ways that I can shave some money out of my travel budget. What solutions are out there for people who are trying to do that?
Sure. We've got a couple of things that we're offering our customers that are doing travel to use their travel dollars more wisely. So first we have FedRooms, which is a solution that we have that provides cheaper booked rooms than generally you can get for government rate. So we're seeing about 8% below per diem, and in some cases up to 33% savings for every room night. And you can find those at FedRooms.com. We also, on the FedRooms program, help agencies select where to have conferences. So you might have 30 people coming from across the United States. You put into FedRooms where they're located, how many people are coming, and it calculates the best choice for you in terms of a city location for selecting where to have your conference and then where to book your conference within that city. So it can help agency managers figure out how to save money when they're hosting conferences.
One of the things that a colleague of yours from the General Services Administration raves about is telepresence, which is not cheap either, but certainly I imagine a lot less expensive than sending a whole bunch of people to a destination somewhere around the country.
Absolutely. We have 15 sites around the United States where we have telepresence centers set up within the GSA buildings, and they can be leased out it's about $400 an hour. But so, you know, say you're going to have, you were going to send six people across the United States. You could just use one of our telepresence center for the hour. It saves a lot of time and a lot of money, you know, instead of sending people onto a plane and putting them up in a hotel room and all of the time it costs to send people around for a two-hour meeting. Or a one-hour meeting could just use telepresence to get the job done.
Is that a universal rule of thumb that telepresence is always less expensive, or are there some factors that go into trying to figure out what solution works best?
Well, we've been using this for a while, and I think you have to have the right kind of meeting and the right, you know. So it's not good for a three-day meeting. You know, that's way too expensive. It'd mm-hmm. probably be better to send some handful of people to wherever you want to have the meeting. But it's great for doing job interviews. It's great for, you know, just an hour-long meeting on a particular topic. It especially works good when you want to have an interactive meeting.
That's a two-way technology?
Yes, it is.
Tell me more about that, because I have seen it and read a little bit about it, but I haven't experienced it, and so it doesn't sound like I'm getting the essence of it.
It really is one of the best meeting kind of experiences you'll have that, you know, when you're not actually in the room. And one of the interesting things about it is it's set up so that it appears that the other people are in the room just like you are. So it feels very lifelike, like they're right there. And in a typical teleconference kind of setup, there's the jerkiness of the conversation. So if one person speaking, the other side stops.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It is very much like you're actually in the room with them. So people can talk over each other like they like to do in meetings. So it's very lifelike and real versus the typical kind of teleconference that I think most people are used to.
You've obviously been in the same meetings that I have.
Yes.
That sounds very Star Trek-y, and we have some information about that linked up to the GSA website on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Section 4 of this executive order, which we also have linked up, deals with information technology devices. Are you experiencing different requests from your government customers when it comes to IT devices, either in light of this executive order or in light of just kind of general commoditization of IT?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of requests about just about buying everything these days. But we're working on some things that I think are going to be really helpful to the rest of the agencies around this. We just released a wireless Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, which will take care of both devices and plans. That'll be ready in a couple of months here. I think a lot of agencies are looking to us to help them with devices. We actually were working with one of our agency customers. We were looking at they were purchasing desktops, and we saw the range that they had. They had 40 different contracts with 300-plus different small transactions, paying anywhere from like $800 to $2,400 per desktop computer through 100 vendors. You see the kind of variance that you see in what would be a very fungible commodity within one agency. So there's a lot of opportunities to buy a little bit smarter, buy a little bit more effectively, and get more money for the mission.
Steve, one of the things that I see among the offerings that you have is cloud email as a service. Now, the General Services Administration made a big imprint on government when you moved everybody to the cloud, as far as your email service goes. What kind of impact did that have on how you're able to offer it to other agencies?
Well, I think one of those things that we did was go first, and I think, you know, demonstrate that it could be done, what kind of savings we could get for it, that we switched over in one weekend, our learning that we applied in the process, and I just, you know, that we set a great example and the kinds of money we're going to be saving, and you know, we haven't lost anything. You know, we got email and scheduling done. And we're saving about half the money we were spending on our previous services.
What exactly do I look for or ask or need to know up front when I'm thinking about making this move, if this is something I want to put in to try to save myself some money?
Well, I think, you know, I would encourage you to get with our people that have done this. And there's a working group set up, and GSA is very active in this. And they can help you understand how to develop the statement of work, what kinds of things we did in the process. And I think Casey Coleman and then the folks over at ITS are actually out there helping other agencies as they're planning and moving forward into trying to find a way to get their email into the cloud.
When I'm ready to push the button, what's going to be available for me to be able to do it through GSA?
Well, right now you can do it through Alliant, you can do it through the Schedules program, and we have our email as a service BPA back out on the street, and hopefully in a couple of months we'll have that cleaned up and ready to go as well.
We've got some information about that linked up too at federalnewsradio.com. Now, one of the things that you and I talked about a little bit during the break is the idea of saving money by printing. Roger Baker at VA has brought that back into the forefront by saying last week, no more personal printers at the VA. What are you hearing? What are your customers asking you about print management?
Well, we just finished up another federal strategic sourcing initiative around printing, multifunction devices, printers, and copiers. But before you even get to that, one of the things we're encouraging agencies to do is look at something we're calling our PrintWise campaign. There's a lot of things you can do without even spending any money to save a whole lot of money. And it's, you know, it's forced dual-side printing. It's black and white printing versus color printing. It's getting the kinds of draft printing done, changing the kinds of print fonts. These things are really can save agencies enormous amounts of money. And then even getting into the devices, getting rid of the personal printers that are really, you know, they cost a lot of money to operate, the toner, all of those sorts of things. There's a lot of money to be saved there. Then actually getting into what kind of fleet do you need to run your printing operations within a building, and getting to maybe a 10-to-1 or even in some cases 15-to-1 ratio, really saving a lot of money. We worked with the Department of Commerce, and we saw that they were spending about $25 million annually on printing. And they started some of these things, and they've been, you know, they've already cut their printing costs $3.5 million just by printing in black and white, double sided, working on their draft quality, and putting energy efficient savings into all of their devices. They're moving forward with getting rid of the desktop printers and going to save another $1 million, and that's before they get into changing the kinds of contracts and vendors they have for their entire fleet. So there's huge amounts of savings that agencies can make, even before they start changing their printers out.
About 3 months or so ago, I came to, I got a tour of your new headquarters in Noma and saw the printer pool setups that you have there. And I have to be honest with you, I've never been a huge fan of that concept, but it seemed like what you are doing there is fairly efficient.
Absolutely, and it's that's the kind of thing that I think agencies need to go to save the kind of money we're talking about. And there's options available, so if you need privacy settings on there, you can put your PIN number in so it won't just print and sit there, it'll just print when you show up. So there's a lot of capabilities around the printer devices today that create a lot of functionality and provide a lot of savings and for all of the agencies, and we ought to be doing this sort of thing.
I have to be honest, when I first hear you or some other folks who talk about print management talk about some of the things that you can do, that you can change to save money without spending things, and you mentioned some of them, double-sided printing and font management and that kind of thing, I figure, well, that can't be that significant. And then you lay a number like $3.5 million on me, and I go, well, I guess it's, you make it up in volume just with the sheer number of machines and people that you have in a typical agency.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much we spend on printer and paper and those sorts of things. And listen, when a GSA tells you, quit buying so much paper from us, you probably ought to listen.
Yeah, when somebody that makes money off of you by selling you things says don't do that anymore, that's a pretty good sign that you're you want to go in that direction, I suppose.
Yeah, you probably want to listen to them.
What overall should I take away from this promoting efficient spending executive order, and what the GSA can help me with as I'm trying to comply with this in a couple of weeks?
You know, I think one of the things that I hope people take away is come look at GSA and how we can help you deliver on this sort of thing. We have put in place a lot of options that are available to our customers. Many of them don't take a lot of money or a lot of time to actually implement. It'll save you money, and we've tried to make these really easy to use. And I think that's the message. Come to look at GSA when you're trying to figure this out. And if you need help, give us a call, because I think that's one of the things we're doing a lot more of these days is consulting with our customers to help them understand what we're offering and how they can best implement these things to save the kind of money that they're going to need to meet their budget obligations going forward.